And I think Fred has got another person lined up for me. So thanks. Yep, see you later. So you're listening to 104.7, which is MNL Radio, right here in the heart of Gander. Usually, you know, most radio stations or TV stations, you have makeup and all kinds of things. And here, we're just live, and you sit down, and we thrust a microphone in your face. We're just always live. We haven't even taken a break, you know.
Thank God, no
water.
I don't have to do my hair.
So, I have with me Sheila O'Leary. I think it was exactly a year ago we had another interview.
I think we did. It was actually. I think was
you
it last
were
year?
You running for office last year.
Yes. Well, I ran in a by-election in 2016.
Yes. Okay.
And I was successful at getting a ward seat in the city of St. John's, and then this past fall, then I ran for deputy mayor and was successful. So here I am.
So you're here at MNL Symposium. And you obviously have an interest in it because you're a municipal politician or whatever. What are the kinds of things that happen at this event that you think make it so important to be here?
First of all, I love the Municipalities Newfoundland Labrador events and being involved. Even prior to my time, like right now, I've actually been, I am the City of St. John's representative on the board.
Okay.
You know, we play a very different role, of course, because, you know, obviously this is all about small towns, rural Newfoundland, and that community there. And really, the City of St. John's plays apples and oranges in lots of ways. But it's extremely important that we have this kind of connection. And for me, I've never personally had the attitude that, oh, you know, it's St. John's and then everybody else.
Right.
You know, my parents hail from the West Coast. My mom is from Stephenville. My dad was from Cornerbrook.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, I have a more of a global kind of philosophical view in general. And I love all of this province. And so working, getting to know the leaders in all of the towns and communities right across the province are just, to me, it's one of the most exciting things that I actually do. So even prior to my role that I play right now, even in a stronger leadership role as, you know, deputy mayor and as well the board representative, I used to come to these conferences as much as I possibly could, the symposiums and the conferences. It's an excellent networking opportunity. And, you know, just because I hail from St. John's doesn't mean that there are not lessons to be learned from smaller communities. Creativity it can be found in all kinds of corners.
Yeah. It's interesting you did bring up the rural-urban kind of thing, because it's an interesting phenomenon. And I remember first time I went to Iceland, and people there outside of Reykjavik hate Reykjavik.
Oh, it's okay.
And people in Reykjavik are not quite sure about the people. They don't have a overpass, but they have, you know, they have a geyser. But it was the very same kind of mixture of dependence and I don't know what else you'd call it, or sometimes it's jealousy or whatever else. And I don't know if that's just a factor that is always going to be there at some level, and that we can easily work at. I mean, I think we work at it in good ways, and sometimes there are things that aren't so good. But I think there's a real attempt to understand each other. But maybe it's just it's always going to be there.
I honestly feel like some of that is really shifting, and I do believe there's a change happening. Now, I have heard probably twice since I've been here past the overpass. The first time I've heard it in a very long time, and I guess because, you know, we are all, whether you know, it's a conscientious effort or not, we're moving towards regionalization. Yeah. We're moving towards shared resource. And that goes for the City of St. John's as well. Because we work within an infrastructure of Northeast Avalon. So I have a fantastic relationship with the leaders in the town of Torbay, Portugal Cove, St. Phillips, Paradise, Conception Bay South, Mount Pearl. These, and, you know, Logie Bay, Pooch Cove, Outer Cove. These are communities, and we all work and play together. And so even in that area, even though I find that idea of the us and them is really being diminished. And I'm really happy for that. I mean, yes, St. John's obviously has a lot more resource. There's no doubt about it, because of the bulk of the population. But at the same time, I think that there's a really I feel as a municipal leader in the capital city, I feel a huge responsibility to not only how we work with other communities, to mentorship, what we can offer and what we can learn. Because I see best practices across the province that I love in action.
Yeah.
And I want to take back to my council and say, hey, we should be doing it this way, right?
Yeah. And there is a dependence in a way, like you're benefiting by strong rural communities because we shop at Costco, and that means you have a Costco.
Absolutely. And I might add that Costco does not use single-use plastic bags.
Yes, okay. We'll get to that in just a moment. Yeah, I think there's a small, like I live in Corner Brook, and so are there communities around Corner Brook who are jealous of that. I mean, it's just the way it is. But I think it's just a little note, historical note, that expression about the overpass.
Yes.
Do you remember when a former premier, Danny Williams, was going to tear it down at one point? It was in this very hotel at a rural secretariat conference in about 2007.
Okay.
And he got going, as he did, and he was complaining about the overpass. He said, I'm gonna tear that thing down. And that was right here in the hotel room here. So
I see that predates my time. Of course, we're dealing with the former premier in a different fashion.
It was
days.
A different. That's precisely true. So you plastic bags. You mentioned plastic bags. You have been instrumental in terms of issues around the environment and being responsible in this age that we live in. And tell me a little bit about where that's going these days.
Look, naturally, I'm not a scientist or a researcher, but I'm just naturally, I'm a mother. Yeah. I'm somebody who cares about my community. And honestly, the reason why I actually started getting more involved in municipal government, the reason why I decided to step up and run was because I was just so sick and tired of the dirt that I saw around in my neighborhoods and some poor development decisions that I was, really, really not very happy about. And, I have a long history of activism. I'm an artist by trade. I'm a cultural producer for over 25 years. And like I said, a single mom, so I've been raising a family and trying to do my best within my own community. And it's funny, I was sitting next to a friend of mine or a colleague here at the symposium, and he was saying, one of the questions was about in your community. He said, you don't live in a community, you live in the city of St. John's. I said, I consider the city of St. John's a community or a collection of communities. So I still have that community lens always, even though I know the population is very different. And I think, I have a strong feeling of responsibility to do something about improving the environment. It's ours to be stewards of. Mm-hmm. And so been involved with Stewardship Association municipalities. I used to go out on a lot of the cleanups with Benny Malone and the Friends and Lovers of the Waterford River in the city of St. John's in the early days. I was a board member of the Northeast Avalon Coastal Action Program. So, I've been involved with environmental agencies for a long time, but really just from a caring vantage point. And so when I was first elected, one of the issues that I got heavily involved in was cosmetic pesticide ban. Mm-hmm. And again, it was not something that was affecting agriculture. It was the non-essential use of chemicals on dandelions, on people's lawns, which to me was like non-essential, and we saw bans happening in municipalities right across the country. And I had a personal experience with that, where a neighbor had somebody come in and spraying it, and I had my toddler on the grass underneath, obviously being party to the spray. And that was when I really kicked into gear for me, and I realized, oh my gosh, I got to do something about this. And so I learned, I researched, and then I realized that, oh my gosh, we're putting all this unnecessary toxic chemicals into our soil. Ends up in our water table. I got to do something about it. So that's kind of how it works for me. It's right, you see a problem, you try to fix it. And it's as simple as that, really. And with plastic bags is another perfect example. And I didn't create this resolution. It was actually a former councillor, Joe Butler, from Portugal Cove St. Phillips, who brought this resolution to the table here at MNL. And it was wildly supported, almost unanimously, to ban single-use plastic bags and to lobby the provincial government to do a full provincial ban. And we have communities in Labrador who have already done it of their own accord. And the city of St. John's unanimously supports it. we don't have the legislative capability under our Municipalities Act to do anything about it. But they're, you know, so, and also the point about that, you know, the municipality aspect is that where are the boundaries when it comes to the environment? Like, I mean, you know, we're making these man-made or woman-made, you know, decisions about boundaries, artificial boundaries about where we are, but plastic bags aren't paying attention to that, neither are the toxic chemicals that end up in the water table.
Yeah.
And so we need to think in a municipal by municipal perspective on dealing with eradicating things that are bad for us, things that are bad for the environment, things that are bad for marine life, things that are bad for our pocketbook and how they affect us in terms of landfill or waste management.
Yeah.
All of these things, they, you know, it doesn't make sense to deal with them in a municipal level. It's really a provincial, it's our province that needs to deal with it. And I'm a firm supporter of it, and I was really pleased to see that resolution go through. So I further supported it at the city level, as did many other municipalities further supported the MNL resolution. And, of course, now we're into our second round of resolution, because after 2 years, resolutions expire. And we never had, you know, strong action from the province on this issue to date. And so then Mayor Craig Scott of Torbay put forward a second resolution to put it back on the table again. So now we have an active resolution again. This is our second, you know, a second round to get the provincial government's attention. This is not about naysaying. This is a leadership opportunity. This is happening worldwide. The bans are happening all across the world and across the country of Canada. They've been happening in municipalities. But I was fortunate enough to have meetings with leaders in the retail association business last year, and they know it's coming. It's happening. It's happening across the world, across the country.
Yeah.
And they would much prefer to see these bans happen and be legislated provincially as opposed to municipalities. Because it's a nightmare for them to logistically control.
Yeah.
They have to, one town has a plastic bags, and the next town has paper bags or recyclable bags. Doesn't make any sense to them. They just want they just want to know what the rules are and abide by them.
Right. Yeah. One of the sort of sub themes of some of our discussions earlier with other people has been, in Newfoundland and Labrador, we have the level of the municipality and we have the level of the provincial government. Nothing really quite in between. But who moves issues forward? Which you're very astutely pointing to that the environment is an issue that affects both of those, but sometimes one group kind of takes a leadership, but it needs the other support.
Well, like most things, right? You need a champion, right? Yeah. And you know, MNL, we've got a phenomenal committee that is, you know, all geared towards this particular issue, this particular resolution, and is a working group. And it also has industry professionals involved in it, people who are plastic producers, industry people, mayors and town councillors from all across the province, as well as staff and knowledgeable researchers within the MNL. You know, structure, but the reality is that it's only going to be political will that's ever going to make it come to light. And to date, we haven't had much success with that. I will be straightforward about it. But I'm also feel very hopeful. We've seen a change certainly in our leadership. The new interim leader, the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Environment, is now MHA Andrew
Parsons.
And he is somebody who is well known as a very active, active MHA. And in my experience dealing with him and such, he's been very open. And I know that he's very interested in getting up to speed on this very quickly. And I can guarantee you that we will be very quick to provide a brief and try to engage him on this issue. And I think that there's a strong possibility there. I'm very hopeful. I'm also very hopeful because I think that this truly, in a positive light, is an excellent leadership opportunity. Imagine if Newfoundland and Labrador, instead of always being the last to come on board for everything, would be the first province in Canada to actually legislate a provincial ban. Montreal's happening, you know, Victoria's happening, Halifax is happening. We've even got Fogo Island and Nain and all the rest of the stuff going on within our own province. But right across, it's happening. Mm-hmm. But the businesses, the retailers, they want to see it happen provincially.
Yeah.
It is happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
So wouldn't it be a wonderful leadership opportunity, such a great thing for this government to actually enact that ban and to step up and be the first?
Yeah. Let me ask you another question, which destroys another sort of urban rural myth. And you're very interested in food and food production.
Yes.
And also linked to that is a little bit around being a welcoming community and refugees and immigrants. And I put those two together because you are on a committee that I'm connected with as well that's bringing those two together. What's the, how do you see this whole drive toward local food and the need to be a bit more self-sufficient here in this island? Do you see it? Well, let's say the positive things. How do you, the issue has become much more present.
Certainly. Yeah. Well, you know what? My first kind of touchstone. Well, my parents, my mother was grew up on a farm, so you know, I have that historic kind of you know, kind of reference from my mother's vantage point. But of course, I grew up in St. John's, and you know, in a very urban center, and we bought all our groceries from the supermarket, and so on and so forth. But I remember when you know, our expat Gwyn Dyer had come and gave a talk once many years ago, and I think it was the egg farmers of the province that had brought him in to speak, and he talked about local food production and the importance of it, and about, you know, the amount of time that it would take for us to run out of food if our our transport was shut down, which obviously we are at will of Mother Nature, and whatever's going to happen here, especially on the island portion, but Labrador as well, certainly because of remoteness. And So that was a real kind of wake-up call for me about the issue. And, of course, I've been very involved and very supportive of Food First NL and their efforts to try to engage communities to realize that, you know, producing local food and celebrating local food production, what an asset that is to everybody. And that's safety, and that's health and safety. It's not just about a feel-good project, you know. It's really something that is going to change the whole dynamic. And why shouldn't we be? Why should we be so dependent upon external sources for our food production? We were always, historically, in the province, so self-sufficient in terms of fishery, in terms of food production, even though, you know, parts of it are very hard to grow things on. But, you know, with modern technology, you know, the world's, you know, has so much potential.
Changed,
So, anyway, I think right now on our city council, we've had a big shift as well. We've got a younger demographic, we've got gender parity, and we have people, one of which my colleague here today, actually, Councillor Ian Froud, is actually a farmer.
Yes.
So we have a different mindset right now than we've had before, and I think that the issue of food security is something that I think is really important, something we want to support. And I think that we can have a balance of it all.
Yeah.
That's not to say that we're, you know, we're going to shut down any kind of, you know, imports of food. But you know what? Self-sufficiency is something that I think that is an ultimate goal for all of us, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that one of the real possible areas of confederation between different regions of this is around the production of food.
Yes.
Because it can't all be provided within cities, whatever, and it has to be grown in rural areas. And so that's a way in which there's a connection between those areas.
Absolutely.
That is a healthy connection.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we've got all the wild game.
Yes.
You know, I mean, my gosh, what a history of that. I mean, you know, all of my mother's family are all hunters and fishers. So, you know, and that's something that we're seeing a return to, especially for the urbanites like myself and others.
Do you have your moose tag for this year?
I don't. I don't. But I would love to certainly get down that road soon enough. But, you know, I have lots of friends who are hunters. And I think just in terms of urban life for us in the city of St. John's, or greenhouses, how we can produce And, you know, and of course, the big issue, of course, that's coming up, too, is the whole cannabis issue as well.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
you know, all of us are trying to get our heads around this
yes.
new legislation that's
yes.
coming. And, you know, there will be production. There will be production on some level.
Right.
right? So what does that mean, right?
Yeah.
It's not food, but it's...
Well, the next wave will be edibles
exactly.
with cannabis. And that's, they're waiting for a little bit to do that. But the studies I've seen have said the majority of people are going to want edibles. I mean, you can't even smoke a cigarette. You can't be using it anywhere. So people don't want to be smoking it, but they want other ways to take it.
And
so that's a whole other area
is.
Of
and
production.
And I have concerns about that, I have to say, you know, as a mother, right? You know, I certainly am, you know, this legislation is coming.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, everything for adults is no different than with alcohol.
Yep.
But the reality is, like, are we going to have, like, you know, marijuana or THC gummy bears out
right.
there and stuff like that in a market
right.
where kids could easily,
yeah.
you know,
confuse
could
them
access
or whatever,
them?
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
knows? Anyway,
yeah.
there's look, that issue is
yeah.
huge. That's a
yeah.
big issue that's coming. And obviously that's one for the federal government that's going to trickle down in terms of legislation. But
yeah.
We're all going to have to be very, very cautious
yeah.
about how we proceed with that one.
But you're talking about it later today, so you'll
yes.
figure it out before for the federal government.
Yeah,
just send them the brief, you know.
Listen, we've had some fantastic discussions
yeah.
here today. I got to say, the World Cafe
yes.
was very
yeah.
exciting earlier.
Yeah.
We had a room that was just like...
Yeah.
You know, so many discussions going around. It was like speed dating at a table,
yeah.
right? You know, so you'd throw out the topic and everybody'd have a go at it and have some comments
yeah.
to make and put forward some action items. And then you'd switch tables and go
yeah.
to another one. And this is the first time that MNL's ever done these kind of
yeah.
World Cafe
yeah.
sessions. And I think it was highly successful.
Yeah. Let me just ask you about one more thing about the Welcoming Newfoundland initiative.
Yes.
And I just read something recently that in Atlantic Canada, they were talking about specifically Syrian refugees, is that in St. John's and in Newfoundland and Labrador in general, more of them have stayed in the province than in the other three provinces. Even though the perception is sometimes that they stay for a short time and they leave or whatever. I mean, that's a positive
mm-hmm.
thing. But if we're looking for more population, and obviously immigration is an issue, and as St. John's, located as you are, you it's easier to draw people in because there are already people from background. Anyway, how do you see that as within the city? Is there a high awareness that that's really part of the future?
I think that it's on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because Minister Al Hawkins,
mm-hmm.
of course, who deals with immigration,
yep.
spoke
yep.
to this earlier at,
yep.
at the luncheon
yep.
Keynote speech. And I've worked certainly side by side with him in that capacity. I think it's crucial. And
yep.
in my personal life, prior to politics, I've always been extremely engaging of new immigrants in the refugee
yeah.
community.
Yeah.
But it's not just about being nice anymore, and it's not just about you know, extending, being, you know, welcoming
yeah.
Newfoundlanders.
Yeah.
It is really a reality for us now. It's economically what
yeah.
we need to have happen.
Yeah.
We need to be diverse and open it up. And I, you know, I laugh when I think about it because, of course, I was raised, you know, as a young Catholic girl in the
right.
city of St.
Right.
John's, you know,
right.
by a very conservative kind of, you know, family scenario. And you know, all we had at that point in time was Protestant Catholic. Right,
mm-hmm.
you know, when
mm-hmm.
I was growing up, now my 13-year-old son goes to a school in the city of St. John's, and his class is like the UN. The diversity
yeah.
is
yeah.
phenomenal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and you
yeah.
know what? It's welcome. And so
yeah.
that's commonplace for him now. That's his new normal. That's what
yeah.
he's growing up with.
Yeah.
We had to, you know, as older adults
yeah.
and stuff, adapt to the changes in Newfoundland and Labrador. But you know what? It only enriches us. I think it's
yeah.
a fantastic thing. That kind of diversity is something that can only be a benefit for us down the road. And it requires respect and human understanding, and we have a lot to learn
yeah.
because there's new cultures, new ways. But it's the future. It is what we need to do because our population base just can't support it anymore. We're not having
mm.
enough babies.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's just wonderful to have different perspectives. So I recall many years ago, and again, this was prior to my time on council, but when... I believe it was 1989 or 88 when there was a whole refugees movement from
right.
the Bulgarian
mm-hmm.
community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, it was pretty interesting. At the time, of course, on Open Line, there was a lot of, oh, they're coming here taking our jobs and all that kind of stuff. And so myself and a couple of colleagues decided enough is enough. We've got to show some sort of a welcoming
mm-hmm.
you know, component here. So we created a Newfoundland Bulgarian mixer at our local cultural center in downtown St. John's at the LSPU Hall. And so we featured Bulgarian dishes and Newfoundland dishes. And we had artwork and performance, and we basically shut down the doors and partied till 7 o'clock in the morning. And I think that was what sealed the deal for some of the community that actually stuck around. It was look, it doesn't take a lot. We know we're natural ambassadors in the province of Newfoundland Labrador. We are. We're always bragging about how wonderful Newfoundland is, and we're always loving everybody when they come. We have to just take that and extend that a little bit further to a community that's actually going to become. Part with us.
And
you know, enable, you know, this change to happen.
Music helps a lot. Just a couple of days ago, I was at a concert with the Cubasonics, who are traveling through.
I love the Cubasonics. Who are, they're fantastic.
Not from Bulgaria, but north and east, but from the Ukrainian tradition. So Ukrainian Newfoundland band, and they did a few of Emile Benoit's tunes as well with their particular cymbal. But that sort of thing is wonderful, and I think it has to be worked at, too. Did you say you started an organization very consciously? And we have so many around the world examples of communities that were vibrant, multicultural, that went into decline for a while. Sarajevo will be an example.
Yep.
And then they're slowly getting back out of that. So I like the idea that there are cities like your city who are thinking, we really have to institutionalize
and go out beyond the comfort zone and you know, the necessary prescription. I think about people like, well, the province's volunteer, the co-chair of the volunteer, I think we had Loidetta Quaco. You know, the sharing, she runs a fantastic event every year called Sharing Our Cultures. And I was fortunate enough to get to know Loidetta through the Multicultural Women's Organization of Newfoundland Labrador. And she's a dynamo. But, you know, it's through organizations like that, the Women's Organization, you know, Newfoundland Labrador Organization of Multicultural Women. There's REAC, there's Association for New Canadians. All of these organizations are doing great work with little resource, I might add, to try to create and welcome and create a fabric that incorporates everybody, not an us and them thing, right?
Yeah. Just end with a note of an elevator speech of optimism. Like, if I were sitting at home listening or whatever, and I don't know if I want to get into municipal politics. It's a lot of work and so on. What would you say? What's the thing that drives you that means that you're having fun? Not all the time, maybe.
Not all the time. Trust me, there are days I question my sanity regularly.
But what is it that gives you, that it gives you? As well,
public service is really feeds me, right? It really does, and I think that there's such great opportunity. It's very enriching. It's very empowering to be in a position where you can act on behalf of people when you know that there are needs in the community, whether or not it's a single resident who has an issue, to the broadest kind of envisioning. Remember, I'm a creative person, so I love you know, that kind of creative process and thinking big picture stuff. And, you know, some of it is not so, you know, not so glamorous to deal with. And you do get, you know, you do get a lot of flack. There's no doubt about it. You put on the hot seat. But it's also extremely empowering. And one of the roles that I actually played, you know, and continue to do is try to advocate for women to get involved in politics. I was a former chair of Equal Voice NL. Because we know that women have a different perspective, and it's really important for their voice to be on councils as well. And you know what? This year is the first year the City of St. John's has ever achieved gender parity, which is a huge accomplishment, and it has changed the conversation. It's changed the conversation around harassment and intimidation issues and conduct. It's changed the conversation about how we support families in our community. It really is different, you know. I mean, we're equal, but we're different beasts, right? And so I like the idea of mentorship. I've been mentored by people, my parents, who were community volunteers. You know, I've been mentored by people like former Mayor Shani Duff. She's like, you know, an incredible builder of community in the City of St. John's. And we see that right across the province in all our communities as well. And I just think it's an exciting opportunity. It is hard work. It's tough. You're accountable, but also the rewards are great. So I'm very highly, you know, encouraging of people getting involved in their municipal councils, in all levels of government, to be completely honest, from you know, indigenous bands right on through to municipal government, provincial and federal.
Excellent. Thanks so much for joining me, Sheila O'Leary, and you have provided that inspiration for I might even run myself. I don't know. So I've kept you away from some session or whatever.
Okay,
I don't know what it is, but thanks again for being with us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay, back to some music.